with Dr. Keith Suter.
And we welcome to the program again, Dr. Keith Suter from Global Directions. Hello, Keith, how are you?
Yes. Good afternoon, Brent.
Thank you for your time. We're talking US elections and Donald Trump. He's still trying to win. A judge in Pennsylvania has dismissed a lawsuit from Trump's campaign that basically was trying to invalidate millions of mail-in votes. The judge said the suit, which rested on allegations of irregularities, was without merit. This is not the first time that Donald Trump and his lawyers have heard this.
No, that's right. So far there have been 36 lawsuits. 24 have been dismissed, and so far none has uncovered any election fraud whatsoever. So it's clearly putting a strain on the legal system, but not bearing any fruit whatsoever. And meanwhile, of course, the total number of Americans who have died because of coronavirus has now gone over 250,000. And it's also worth bearing in mind, though, that Trump is obviously, for the next 4 years, in whatever role he is, either as a commentator on Fox or with his own new media channel, is going to be talking about the way in which the whole election was swayed by about 46,000 votes in Georgia, Arizona, and Wisconsin. So he'll be able to say that although the actual number of electoral college votes was really quite substantial, in other words, the target is 270, and Biden has got 306, and Trump is well behind at 232. Nonetheless, he'd be able to say, well, in terms of total number of people who voted, it was a difference of only 46,000 out of 300 million potential Americans. So that'll be the basis of his grudge that he will now carry for the next 4 years. Assuming that there is no attempt at trying to overturn this result, the risk for Biden is that this will now go into Congress and for Congress to make the decision. It was a crisis that we had back in 1876 and resulted in the southern states ending the occupation by the North and really ending all the progress that had been made under the Civil War, really, although slavery wasn't reintroduced in the South, but it took another 90 years before the civil rights legislation was introduced by President Johnson in the 1960s, before they got back to the status which people enjoyed before the compromise. What happened in 1876? Again, a very close contested election with all sorts of allegations of vote rigging and all sorts of things. And the compromise was that the Democrats, who were then based in the South and who were the slave owners, said to the Republicans, who were then based in the North and opposed to slavery, all right, you get the White House, but you remove your occupying forces from the South and allow us to go back to living how we were before the Civil War, but without the slavery. And that was the compromise. And I say it took almost a century to undo the damage from that compromise. The risk that we're running now is that we will end up with this situation. What Trump would like to see to be flicked back to Congress, and that Trump hopes somehow he may still be reappointed by virtue of a very complicated congressional complex procedure. What is clear is he's not giving up. He's just going out playing golf as normal, etc. So, you know, it's an incredible show of bravado. So we've had 4 incredible years with Trump, and they're going to end in an incredible way, one way or another.
Who's paying for all this in reference to the law cases?
Well, he's fundraising. And, of course, the more he refuses to concede, the more he can do fundraising. So there are people who are every minute now receiving requests from the Republican fundraisers saying, help us to continue the struggle against the Democrats who are stealing the election. Now, as soon as he concedes, all of that finishes. The fundraising stops, and people, well, those involved in the election process will suddenly stop all these contested court cases, but who knows, the violence might then move out onto the streets. That's the other risk that we're running.
Can I ask you, when does it get to the stage where he just has to realise he's lost the election and it will do him more harm than good if he continues down this road?
I think he's already past that point. It's interesting, a number of Republicans, including the first person to come out and endorse him, Governor Chris Christie, he was the first one to support Trump's application for the presidency, you know, over 4 years ago. And Chris Christie, a longtime ally, is now referring to Trump as a national embarrassment. And so it's interesting. He's already reached the point where I think he's doing damage to his legacy. And he's going to be remembered as the person who refused to leave the White House rather than as the first president for many years, as the first president not to start a war. It's quite an achievement if you're an American president. But all that's going to be overshadowed. He's going to be remembered for refusing to leave office in the same way that Clinton will be forever remembered with Monica Lewinsky and the sex scandal, mm-hmm. rather than what he was able to achieve by balancing the national debt. If he had remained in office for a third term, which of course you couldn't do, that the American national debt would have gone, would have disappeared. He was balancing the budget so well. But nobody ever remembers that. That he remembered Monica Lewinsky, etc. That's the risk that you run when you're president. And so that's the risk for Trump is that he's going to be remembered as the person who refused to leave office.
He's lost Pennsylvania, and it looks like he's lost all the other major states that were going to give him the numbers to get his votes up. You said he's lost 24 of 36 lawsuits. Yeah. Has he got any chance at all now, or is it just, you know, all bravado?
Well, it's interesting. All the political experts are saying there is a slight chance that he might be able to win it through Congress, but it's got to get to Congress. You've got to have stalemates in the courts, which are not occurring. So my guess is that Biden should now be regarded as the president-elect, as the media are already treating him in that way. I think that that's the right way to go. But what intrigues me is that Trump has dug his heels in. We've never seen this before. This is totally unprecedented in 250 years of American history, to have someone doing what Trump is now doing, totally without precedent. And that's at this point that we begin to see the holes within the U.S. Constitution. And the fact that they cannot cover every eventuality. When the Constitution was written in 1787, nobody imagined a situation where a president would refuse to accept electoral defeat. It was just assumed that you had gentlemen in politics, and there were only men who were in politics and voting for them. And it was assumed, therefore, that the loser would leave gracefully. But this is totally unprecedented, the situation in which we now find ourselves.
Are you surprised Biden isn't making more of a fuss and fighting Trump to get the front door keys to the White House? Because you mentioned more than 250,000 deaths now in the United States as a result of coronavirus. It seems as though Trump is, I suppose, he's stopping Biden from moving forward with his fight to stamp out coronavirus in the United States, isn't
it? So the U.S. Congress has allocated, the current amount is $10 million for what's called the transition team, which goes to the president-elect. And that is handled through a government agency. And the head of that agency, Ms. Murphy, has not yet been able to activate that money because the president has not conceded defeat. So technically, the election is still underway at the moment. So this is the challenge that you've got. And so Trump is holding out, which prevents the money from going to Biden, which prevents Biden from employing people, including what's going to be done about the coronavirus crisis. So, yes, it's really hurting America. And I'm not sure if I mentioned this when we were speaking last week, but if you go back to 9/11, which was in 2001, one of the explanations in the official report of what went wrong in that tragedy was the fact that there had been this problem in the year 2000 between Gore and Bush, which ultimately resolved by the Supreme Court. But that had cost valuable time, which meant that the new Bush administration was slow in getting up to speed and therefore was caught unprepared by the terrorist threat on 9/11. And in a sense, we're really reliving that crisis at the moment, this time with coronavirus. But of course, America is vulnerable at the moment if you were a terrorist group and you wanted to attack the United States.
Absolutely. All right, Dr. Keith Suter, thank you as always for your time. We'll leave it there and we'll just sit back and watch and we'll talk again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. That's Dr. Keith Suter from Global Directions.